T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dane Brugler joining me on CBS Sports Radio right now. Dane, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to have you on the show. We've been talking a lot of quarterbacks because I happen to be sitting about 4 miles from NRG Stadium here in Houston, where in the next 48 hours they're hosting Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. I want to start with just something we got talking about in the previous segment. How much of a threat or a possibility to truly quarterback needy teams are some of these teams that may have aging veteran quarterbacks who might see somebody that they like on the board in this draft and see it as a luxury that they could groom them for a couple years behind their veteran guy? You know, teams with guys like Breeze or Palmer or Eli Manning, Rivers, that type of thing. How much of a factor do you see those teams being in the quarterback market in this draft?
Oh, I think they're definitely a factor. When you look at this first round, several of those teams that you mentioned are picking in the back half of round one. And so we'll see how the quarterbacks, how they come off the board, what order, who will be available in that late first round. But you have the Giants sitting there at number 23. I don't think too many people expect them to take a quarterback, but it's at least on the table. That's an option that they could go if the right quarterback is there. You have the Saints picking at 32, that trade they made with Brandon Cooks to the Patriots. They have that pick, and they can move around a little bit, possibly go quarterback. The Cardinals at 13, Carson Palmer, many think this is his final year. It's a fine line, because I think the general manager, Keim, has talked about this. You have a team, a roster that's ready to win right now, but if the right quarterback is there, it might be time to build for the future. And so that's a really fine line that I think a lot of these teams, a lot of these general managers, they're talking about right now. Draft meetings are just concluding over the past few weeks. The boards have been built, and they're talking about scenarios. And if X quarterback is here for us, you know what? We might be pulling the trigger here because it makes sense. You know, the Chiefs at picking in the late first round, also an option. Alex Smith, still has a few years left on his deal. But again, John Dorsey, he was with the Packers in 2005 when Aaron Rodgers fell to them in the late first round. Could be similar situation. John Dorsey, now the general manager in Kansas City. Could that be a possible fit if the right quarterback is there? So many differing opinions on this quarterback class. It will be the story of round one this year.
And Dane, I'm looking at your mock draft right now, and I'm looking at it after I ask you that question. And you have in my mind three scenarios that fit the question I just asked you, because you've got Watson going to the Cardinals, and I see a lot of folks having them taking a quarterback, but then you've got the Giants taking Mahomes at 23, and then the Saints using the Brandon Cooks pick, the Patriots pick at the back end of the first round on DeShone Kizer. You know, it's amazing, Dane, the volatility with this draft class. Like, at the end of the day, there may be four quarterbacks taken in the first round, but I feel like their stock is all over the place when it comes to experts like you. What do you attribute that to, the volatility of this quarterback draft class, where you just can't seem to pinpoint truly what the stock is on these guys?
Well, I think it's because that's how the league views these quarterbacks. You ask, different teams, you're going to get different opinions based on, who's the top quarterback this year. What's the order? How early should they be coming off the board? Quarterbacks in the draft, it comes down to simple economics, supply and demand. Obviously, we know the demand is there, but what about the supply? And that's what there's a lot of differing opinions on based on going from team to team. I think Mitchell Trubisky, the quarterback that we didn't really talk about yet, I think he's going to be in the top 10. I think it could be 3 to Chicago, 6 with the Jets, 10 with Buffalo, or maybe we see a team trade up into that top 10 to get Trubisky. And then after that, you have, like we mentioned, the Cardinals at 13, Houston obviously at 25. There's so many different options we could see these quarterbacks come off the board. And really, it reminds me so much of the 2014 class, when the day before the draft, we had no idea how these quarterbacks were going to come off the board. And then it turns out Blake Bortles goes 3, which surprised a lot of people. And then we didn't see a quarterback come off the board till the late first round when Johnny Manziel came off the board, Teddy Bridgewater, and then early in the second round, Derek Carr. And here we are. It turns out Derek Carr has been the best of the group up to this point. So I think it'll be similar this year where we have a quarterback that goes early, and then it might be a little bit of, you know, jockeying for position in that late first round. We also have to consider the teams in the early second round that don't get that quarterback, the 49ers, the Browns, maybe Chicago. Teams trading up into that late first to get the quarterback, get that fifth-year option. So I think really the quarterbacks, it's going to be musical chairs, and it really will be interesting to see how it plays out.
Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Dane, last quarterback question. How much do you think the caliber of next year's class of quarterbacks factors into decisions made with this year's class? Does it factor in at all with some of these teams? And is next year's class, in your mind, as good as people seem to be saying that it is?
You know, it's tough because the NFL is such a win-now league. If you're a general manager, it doesn't matter how secure you feel. In the back of your mind, you know this could be your final draft. So it's, on one hand, you have to look towards the future. You have to plan accordingly. But, even if you're the Browns and there's a good chance you're going to be picking in the top five next year, you can't really hold on to that and think, we'll just get our quarterback next year. And I like Sam Darnold a lot, what he showed this year. But again, he was only the starter for the final three quarters of the season. Still a lot we don't know about Sam Darnold. Josh Rosen took a little bit of a step back this past year. Injuries were a big part of that, and the supporting cast around him. There's a lot of promise at the quarterback position for next year, but it's still, there's so much unknown. And so I think you really have to draft for right now. And if you feel there's a quarterback in this draft that could potentially lead you to the playoffs, help you win the division, I think you have to strike while the iron's hot. Go get that guy. And so I think with the Browns, I know there is absolutely some evidence that they really like Trubisky. It just comes down to, they're not going to get him at 12. And so they all like Myles Garrett. There's no issue there. Myles Garrett, yep. They all love. The question is, do the right people in that Browns front office, are they the loudest voices that pushing for Trubisky? That will kind of determine, Trubisky has a chance to go number one. I still think it'll be Myles Garrett. But I don't think we can totally dismiss that report that it's possible Trubisky could be at number one.
Dane, where are the first parts of the first round where you started to be very tempted to, or maybe even went forward with, mock drafting a curveball or mock drafting a moment where the network covering it sits there and goes, wow, didn't see that coming. I know you mentioned in 2014 it came very, very early with Blake mm-hmm. Bortles. Where are some potential turning points or touch points in this first round where you personally see that potentially happening?
Well, I promise we won't be talking about quarterbacks this entire time, but I do think Trubisky at three, a lot of people don't see that happening because of all the money Chicago gave Mike Glennon. But when you look at that contract, yes, on the surface, $45 million, only 18 and a half guaranteed. It's a glorified one-year deal if that's mm-hmm. what Chicago wants to do. So I think absolutely, from what I'm told, there are certain teams in the NFC North, not the Bears, who are expecting Chicago to take a quarterback at three. And I've heard they really like Trubisky. So mm-hmm. I think that might surprise a lot of people. I think once we get through the top 20 picks, that's when we're going to hear some surprise names. Because the player you get at 20, there's not a big difference between 20 and, say, 40 or 50. There's a group of prospects in that mix that are all in a similar tier. And so I think we're going to see, and I think Obi Melanfonu, I have 19 overall in my mock draft right now, from the safety from UConn, good chance he goes a lot higher than people think. Tyus Bowser, pass rusher from Houston, I think, he's very raw. You put him on the whiteboard, and, you're going to get some mixed results. But when you look at his testing numbers, his size, I think when NFL coaches are really hoping to get their hands on him and seeing what he could be down the line in the future, all these cornerbacks that we have this year, and then a few pass rushers, a few safeties, guys like Jabril Peppers, lots of different opinions on him. So once we get through those first 20 picks, then I think it's going to be all heck's going to break loose between picks 20 and 50 with the different names that we're going to see come off the board. I think there are going to be definitely a few surprises in that mix.
Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Dane, where do you see Joe Mixon ultimately going in this draft?
I think there's a slim chance he could sneak into round one. I think there's something to the notion that if you're going to draft him in the third round, why wouldn't you draft him in the first round? It's going to be the same backlash, PR-wise. But if you're comfortable with who he is as a person and, you know, he's on your draft board, then you, it just comes down to value. And, you know, where in the draft do you feel like you need to be to in order to get him? In my mock right now, my two-round mock on CBS, I have him going to Minnesota in the mid-second. The only team with the head coach and the general manager at Mixon's pro day. I think they've shown enough interest. Now, it doesn't mean that Mixon is necessarily on their board, or maybe they didn't get the answers they wanted from the player. But I do think that's a strong possibility. I think Cincinnati in the early second round. But I do think we see Joe Mixon off the board somewhere in the top 50 picks.
Where would he be in your mind if he didn't have the baggage?
He'd be top 15. He'd be pushing to be the top running back drafted. He's just, 6'1", 230. The athleticism that he shows to make guys miss, but he also has power. And his best attributes probably as a receiver. Natural, so fluid. I went to his pro day in Norman, standing right behind the quarterback and seeing him run routes, catch the ball, the body control, the fluid motion, the adjustments in his routes, just so natural, natural plucker with his hand. I think Joe Mixon would be somewhere in that top 10 to 12 mix overall. We'd be talking about him as a top 10 pick if not for the red flags off the field.
Follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler, B-R-U-G-L-E-R, for some great NFL draft stuff. Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com. Dane, appreciate you making time on a Sunday evening, my man. Thank you very much. Keep up the great work.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.